Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Live Laughter Happiness. Today, I have my co-host Barbara here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am here. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
You know, well, that sort of leads into what we're talking about today. The other day, I was in pain, and I had had, this had happened to me before when I was a few years ago. Apparently, I went in to get some dental work done, and then they pressed something, and then it aggravated the nerve, and it took forever to heal, and then it finally healed. But this time, you know, after weeks of all that flaring and everything, I'm laying in bed, and I'm running my tongue underneath my tooth, and I feel a bump there. Well, you know, I told my mom the next morning, so I called the dentist. We immediately go to the dentist within hours. I love my mom. Thank you for doing this for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
good mom.
Really just, I mean, I was so relieved. I wanted to hug the dentist, but she said not with COVID. Anyway, so we go in.
Good.
And we've sort of figured out the problem. There seems to be a fracture in the tooth. So the question is, they don't know whether or not to extract it yet. But I am really happy. I mean, I've had teeth extracted before, but I think that what's nice is that it's so weird because we go throughout the day, we don't have teeth pain. You know, we go throughout the day, we don't have teeth pain. But we take it so granted, we take our health for granted. You know, for some people, you know, and like, for example, like, you were telling me that you walked on the beach. Not everybody can walk on the beach. You know, not everybody.
I know.
And I didn't want to burden anybody. I didn't want to say, you know, this was something that was bothering me. And
can I ask you a question?
You know, go right ahead.
How long did you endure the pain before you said, hey, you know, this isn't right. I need to tell somebody. I need care. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Oh,
well,
Johnny,
I was doing things about it.
This pain is horrible.
I was taking the Advil, and I was taking, so it was stopping. It was, like, making it go away, but it would just come back, is what was happening.
It's just the mask.
It's right. It's, I feel
so then,
bad.
Was your
so
mother
stuff.
Mad at you when you, did she
no.
say, hey, Johnny, don't ever wait that long to tell me something, or did you not admit it to them that you've been in pain
no,
for
no,
two
actually,
full
I,
weeks?
No, actually, I had admitted it to them. I did. It was a few days earlier, I admitted it to them. I'm supposed to go back to the dentist anyway to get some other work done, but I think it was just sort of, it was one of those things where I think that mom knew what was going on, but she didn't know how bad it was. You know, it wasn't like...
Okay, so this is a normal thing that happens with a lot of people. We were talking about it off air a couple of days ago about health. People feel guilty. They feel like they're a burden on the loved ones around them, that you're relying on certain people to help you. So is my daughter. And she even felt bad when I had to... I didn't have to. I want to go buy her Benadryl for allergic reactions that she's been having. And I got her a whole new box, and she said, oh, you didn't have to do that. I'm like, what do you mean I didn't have to? You need it. And she goes, yeah, but it's expensive. And I go, I never have complained about expense on your health, ever. That's first priority. And then she felt really loved. But what is it in a person that they feel the first thought is like, oh, I'm going to deal with this myself. I don't want to burden anybody. I feel like I'm a burden. Why? Even at this
well,
age
you know,
when I've only been nurturing.
Yeah, I think what it is that, you know, quality healthcare is a very complicated question. Because, for example, you know, like a dentist will look at your tooth, you know, and the first thing they'll do is they'll make sure that, you know, they'll clean the tooth, cavity next, root canal next, and they might extract it after that. But, you know, it's sort of like at some point, we talk about healthcare. I mean, it's sort of like
so
your daughter.
Is that what gave you the anxiety? Is that what gave you the anxiety about hearing your parents talk about healthcare problems? And that's why you didn't want to burden them?
No, I think what it is
the root of the problem. No pun intended.
It's okay. I think what it is that, this is what I mean, is that, you know, sometimes doctors do things that aren't necessary, you know. And doctors, and it's like sometimes you want to pull the punches. With your daughter, it's hard to diagnose family members because, like, for instance, I mean, if Priscilla were in the hospital, you would want her to be treated like the Queen of Sheba, you see. But if it was another person,
there she was. She was.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because the fact that, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, you don't want – and a good example of it is I think I told you about, like, for example, what happened with my grandfather and my father, right?
I don't remember. Why don't you refresh my memory and tell the audience at the same time?
That's fine. My father was an MD. He was a psychiatrist. And one of the things that he basically told everyone, you know, he went in to go see my grandfather at the time. Well, they told, you know, the doctor came out and they said, well, you know, we looked at your dad and he had a stroke, you know. And my father says, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't have a stroke, you know. Now, the thing you need to understand is my father, when you're an MD, you probably know more about strokes than most people on the planet. But
yes,
when you're talking about a father, he didn't want to admit that his father had a stroke. So it would have been like it would have been
too much for him.
Yeah. It's like if your father, if it had been a different person, same age, you know, such and such and such and such, dad would have probably thought, but because it was his father, you know, he just couldn't knit it. So
that's why you wanted to do this on health, because not only do we need it as humans, we need health care, but there's a whole nother thing that goes with that. Needing it is anxiety. And why do we have these anxiety issues? So I want to know, though, what do you think your anxiety really comes from? Because you saw your father in denial about his father having a stroke. And you saw that.
Well, there's also
another
aspect of it, too.
Why?
There's another aspect of it, too. Like, I've been to the doctor, and I've had my blood pressure taken, you know. And then I go home, and I tell tell them what the blood pressure is. And then he goes, they didn't give you anything? I'm like, no, they didn't give me anything. You know, they just told me that's what it was. And I'm like, they should have given you something. That's high. And I think it's because, the problem is that, the problem is that, Barb, is that I think that you are, let's say that you talk to two doctors, okay? And I honestly think this is what would happen. If you talk to two doctors and one doctor says, your daughter has a health problem, okay? And then you talk to another doctor, and the doctor says, your daughter is fine. I think you would still listen to the one that said that you had a health problem, because you wouldn't be able to get that second. Which one would you get? Which one would you be able to remember? Would you be able to pay more attention to the one that said that Priscilla's fine, or the one that said that Priscilla had a health problem?
Health problem.
Really?
I would want to make sure that I...
Mind.
Well, yes, because I would want to make sure that I check that out. Why would that surprise you? I'm going to just say, one said you're okay, but one said you're not, and I'm not going to check out the one that said you're not. I mean, I would have to.
No. You didn't hear me. which one are you going to wind up listening to more? The one that said that Priscilla is okay, or the one that said that Priscilla had a health problem? Which doctor are you going to listen to? They're both good doctors.
I would have to listen to the one that said she had a health problem.
Yeah. See, and that's the problem that it is. It's like ideally, you know, we want to be a certain weight. But then there is, you know, but they don't tell you that if you're 10 pounds overweight that you're going to be dead. They don't tell you that, you know. It's just that you get a certain weight and then you become obese.
Oh, that's an interesting thing that came up today when we were watching Saturday Night Live, because I wanted to show her who Mike Myers was, who was the star of the movie I was in, Austin Powers. And where he started with Wayne's World put him on the map, this Mike Myers. And she's like, oh, isn't that guy in the horror movie? And I'm like, no. And so I looked it up on YouTube. And then there was all these other skits. Remember the obese men who, there was a few comedians on SNL, and they all died of heart attacks. They all died of heart attacks. And I told her about it. I said, see, here's the thing, and she was laughing because it was the Chippendales skit with
yes, that's Chris Farley.
Patrick Swayze. Yes, okay, and it was that one. She was laughing, and she's like, oh, I bet you like that, the one on the right. And I'm like, and she goes, that was mean, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, I mean, it's a skit. It's supposed to be funny, but the thing that's not funny about it is that everybody loved these actors because of they thought it was – they were the big character that played all the parts of the, you know, the fat character. That was the funny skit. I don't like to say that, but that was it. That's what they did. That was the character. That was the actor that played that character. They were special because of it. So they would just start to eat because, oh, well, this is why they love me because I'm the big character. And they start eating, eating, eating. And then maybe they start with doing drugs and then the coke. The cocaine, the partying, the no sleep, and this pressure of being a new star, being on the show, be there, you got to be there. And pretty soon their heart just gives out because they can't handle the weight. That is a health issue. I told her about that. And that's how things can get out of control by the media. And another thing also, this isn't so like health, but like the Dirty Dancing character, the actress named Jennifer. And she became known from that movie. And right after that, she got a nose job and shaved that. Like, I thought she was cute as a button. I thought she was perfect that way. I never thought anything was wrong with her nose or anything. She went and got a nose job. She never got a part after that again because it's like they wanted the America's Sweetheart. They wanted that actress, you, that played that role in Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze. They wanted you. You changed that right after that movie, and you never got a part again. That was a huge mistake right there. Altering yourself, that altering your special self. I mean, you already made it that far. You're this huge blockbuster, and now you have to change yourself. Why? You made it naturally the way you are. That was just a heartbreak for me to see that happen to her. There's a lot of pressure from social media, too, with health and the way you look and what are you supposed to do about it. And it trickles down. It trickles down. It trickled all the way down, even to you, about telling your parents about your tooth pain. Because I know how strict you guys are about coronavirus and not getting out of the house. So they're very careful about that. So that might have been a factor too, right, Johnny, that you knew that they
yeah.
didn't want you to go out to the germ world? Yeah.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm. So deep down, yeah. you had anxiety, but thank God you finally told her because nobody wants to deal with tooth pain, especially as hard as you work on the show every single day. I mean, you were telling me you had headaches, and nobody wants to have a headache. I never get headaches, but if I do, I think, oh, I feel so sorry for the people who get headaches all the time. They're no fun. They're horrible. How can you even think? How could you look at the computer screen, Johnny? You poor thing. I feel bad. Yeah.
But I mean,
Sorry you went through that. How are you now?
I should feel a little better. I mean, it's I have to take
a little.
I'm a lot better. Because, I mean, the ibuprofen seems to slow it down a little bit, and, you know.
Good.
So,
you're not in pain, really bad pain. You're not in really bad pain.
No, only when I really touch the tooth, or I have to be careful when I eat, but it still seems to have got, even that seems to have gotten better, so. Because they gave me some antibiotics.
Okay, good. So that's fighting all of that. Okay, good. It will heal. I'm glad you're on the road to recovery. And it's all great. All right.
All right.
Good.
So what you've said these sort of things before, too. What have you done?
No. I don't remember any health scares or health problems. I have been extremely lucky with my teeth. I've never had, I had cavities when I was little, got those drilled, that was traumatic. I never had to have braces. Every single tooth grew in perfectly symmetrically straight. I don't know how, it just happened. It literally just happened. And never had to have a root canal. I never had a crown. I never had a, I actually chipped one front tooth and a little tiny veneer on one. That's it. So I got lucky on that. And with the health, nope. When I fell down the stairs, I went in and got the full body scan, CT scan. The lungs were clear. The heart was clear. Every organ was working perfectly fine. There was one broken bone, a rib. That's all. I was lucky. No brain bleed. I mean, I'm lucky, and he's like, but your teeth have these little cracks in the front, and the only way that you could have those cracks in the front, like you can hardly see it with the human eye, is by blunt force trauma. And I said, well, I was not beaten up. I was not punched up, you know. I was, yeah. I had a lot of accidents. I got bucked off horses. I had a severe motorcycle crash. I mean, he goes, that's what it is. Blunt force trauma. You've had multiple concussions, and there will be effects from that. And I do notice this last one, my memory fades me on many things that are just very important that you would never forget. And this is upsetting. Because can you really relearn your memories? No. Yes, my best friend from elementary school said that you could relearn everything. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with not remembering real special moments.
Special moments?
Yeah, I mean, just for example, on the interview that you did on me the other day, the Miss December Diaries, my own, you know, what was it like to be a Playboy Playmate, the first beginning days of that and all that. And you asked me, well, what was it like when you first found out? How'd you first find out? You'd think I would remember that. That's the phone call or that's the letter that you remember, right? That's like the same thing as getting accepted into like the hugest college that you had dreams of going to your whole life. Something like that you remember. I didn't remember.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I imagine, do you feel a little bit weirder now, like more cautious as you've gotten older?
Oh, yes. I used to want to jump out of the airplane and do skydiving and just bungee jump. I still will skydive, but I took bungee jumping off the list. No way. I'm not going to do it now. So, yes, I am a little more careful. And with all the accidents, and I'm responsible for my daughter, so I have to be careful with myself. I used to do double black diamonds, downhill moguls, skiing, everything all day long. I didn't care if I wiped out. I rarely did, but I was a kid, you know, I had no fear. Now there's no way. I'm fine with the blue, the intermediate, all the way down. Just let the breeze, you know, blow through my hair. I'm good with that. I'm happy. I don't have to do double black diamonds anymore. I don't want to go slalom. Just give me the two skis on the lake. I'm fine. I just want to look at the beautiful homes and, like, you know. I am not risky like that. I have little fawn ankles. I'm like, surprised, gosh, they never even broke. Never had a broken leg. Just some sprained fingers from gymnastics. Have you ever had a broken bone?
Just an extracted tooth.
Never a broken skull concussion?
No, thank goodness.
Really? Wow. Do you think it's strange that certain people, like here I am telling you about all these concussions I've had, gymnastics, because one of the things when you do get hit on the head really hard, you throw up sometimes or you get really drowsy. The first time when I was in gymnastics and I don't know, I got off track and I twirled so far off the diagonal that I was supposed to stay on, I went completely in my head the other way and I kept flipping around and flipping in the wrong direction and I hit a wall really, really hard doing like front handsprings and stuff. Really hard, I hit the wall. And I was just a kid, so they're like, oh, go sit over there. You didn't quite stay on course. I really was so sick. A few minutes later, I was like dizzy, and I threw up, and that's a sign of a concussion. I think that was one of my first concussions ever, probably like six or seven. So it was pretty intense,
wow.
Maybe eight. It was pretty intense. And then, but did I ever get treated? No. You just go home and go to bed. We'll hope you wake up. And the second one when I was 15 was, and there was probably many in between. I got bucked off a donkey going downhill as full bore that donkey took off with my brother and I on the back. We were probably like 5 and 6. Bucked us off. We were bucked off, hit our heads, and rolled down the hill like 20 times. And we came up and told the parents we had all those thistles in us everywhere. We're like, cuckoo, cuckoo. Like, we're like, what's going on here? Obviously, we had major concussions, and they just, you know, brushed us off and said, go watch TV. I don't know. Nobody even knew. We needed care. People can die from that by having no care after a concussion. And I've had many. And then the cheerleaders, when I had the motorcycle accident, and then the cheerleaders on the summer in practice before we were sophomores in high school, brand new cheerleader, all excited. We were over at a girl's house, cheerleading practice party overnight. The parents weren't home. The little boys were on their dirt bikes in the back because I grew up like that, like out there in Timbuktu with horses and motorcycles and good old boys, that kind of thing, okay? So I decided, I hardly remember it, but I do remember looking out the window and looking at how fun that was. And the other girls were doing, the girls were doing something else. And I went out, I supposedly asked them if I could ride it, no helmet. I was going around and it was like a dirt course with jumps and stuff. I was going around and around and I do total jump. And I didn't mean to, and I did it. And I landed right on my right side, shoulder, head, right hand, everything. And that's when the neck problem started happening. And my got military neck, and now it grows the opposite way. So, yeah, that I never, I think my mom brought me to one after treatment for that. I had to go to the hospital. I lost my memory of the whole summer. They picked me up. I actually was in trouble. I remember sitting in the backseat of the station wagon in trouble, but having a concussion, just kind of not knowing what was going on, but like, oh no, you're in trouble because of what you did. Not you're hurt, let's take care of you. It was, you're in trouble. I just remember that. I remember that very well.
You got in trouble for what happened?
I just remember being in a lot of just very much trouble energy. Just, well, you have no idea. We're going to get into that when we do the, I don't know what you're going to title that show with Christy Tom that's coming up.
Christy Tom.
I have a show scheduled with Christy Tom coming up about.
It's on March the 1st.
About.
It's going to be. Let me give you a moment.
Well, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it because it's not easy to talk about.
Okay.
I'm being a little weird about it.
Show is Christy Tom talks about being abused.
Ha ha! Bingo.
Right.
Okay. So we're on the subject of health today. I would like to talk about something else in the meantime, and I want you to chime in with questions. I don't want to be the only one talking. I don't. Maybe people are sick of hearing me. Maybe they don't want to hear me rambling and rumbling. Okay, but remember, you had your tooth story, and I had another topic to talk about health-wise.
Yeah.
Do you remember? What is it?
You think it had to do with you being pregnant?
Yes. Okay, this might strike a chord with a lot of women out there. I was pregnant with twins, and now I have one child, so something happened, right? Something must happen. Where's the other kid that I was pregnant with?
Right.
Right.
What health problems? What's the story?
Okay, I was a few months pregnant. I went in for my annual checkup. You do once a month after 25 years. Oh, the look on his face. Wow. There was the heartbeat. He was looking. It was the time to find the heartbeat. That's what it was time for. And he found one. Then he was trying to. He found the other. He found both heartbeats. And then he goes, oh. And the look on his face. Oh, my gosh. I knew something was wrong when I saw his look in his eyes just totally changed. He's like, there's something here. I don't like what I see. And he says, it's Thursday. I'm going to get you in tomorrow morning so you don't have to wait the whole weekend till Monday to know. Because if something's wrong with your babies inside of you, it's like, oh, my gosh. The thought of that, you know, that would be a horrible 2 days of not knowing what's wrong.
Yeah.
He got me right in the next morning. I didn't call any friends, any family members, which I had some around me, to go with me. It's something I just had to go do by myself. For some reason, I didn't want anybody to look at me and feel sorry for me. I didn't want any outside distractions. All I knew is I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk. I'm going to do what it takes to know what's going on, take care of my babies inside of me. So I was so excited because I had gotten pregnant naturally with twins. And that is so rare. The percentage of that, go look it up, is extremely low. Not when you're on things to get pregnant. That kind of, I forgot what the name. What is it? Fertility. Fertility.
Yes.
Drugs. That's a different story. That is very common. But I naturally, I wasn't even meaning to get pregnant, trying to get pregnant at all. Never had been pregnant. Naturally, I got pregnant with twins. I went to the person the next morning, a specialist, because when you go in and they're just doing the ultrasound, that's the ultrasound, but there's something called the 3D ultrasound where they could really see all the different angles and really, okay, determine. He goes, I see a halo. My original doctor said, I see a halo above one of the babies, and I don't like that. So what does it mean? And he goes, usually it means a hygroma, which means a cyst of water that grows around the head of the baby for some reason. So I went there to the specialist. Two huge long needles, Johnny, because when you get an amniocentesis, which means they take a sample from the fetus and they have to poke a needle through your stomach and go all the way down and poke into the sac of the baby and poke into that fluid and just extract some of that fluid and test it. So I had it, not just one amnio needle, two, and these things were big. I just dealt with it.
Oh God!
Sticking right in your big stomach that's like pregnant. Okay, yeah, two, and they're like, I don't know, 3 feet long or 2 feet long needles, thick. They're pretty thick. Okay, so I did that and comes back. Then you do have to wait. You have to wait a couple of days for the lab test to come back. And they said, okay, well, your baby has cystic hygroma trisomy 18, meaning something wrong with the chromosomes. And back in the 50s, right before they had the ultrasound, there were so many women delivering twins, but one would be stillborn. And because they didn't know that one was in there. So he said, naturally, usually the heartbeat stops and it kind of blends in and then you have one baby, but you'll see the other baby, you know, during birth. Now we can see what's going on. And I said, well, what about the other baby? What about the other baby? Okay, there's something wrong with this baby, but what about the other baby? And, I mean, they weren't even telling me about the other baby. It wasn't about the other baby's health. It was like, okay, well, okay, what was this baby, male or female? They were not exactly the same twins because they had two separate sacs, meaning they would be, obviously, because how could they be exactly the same when they're two different sexes? So the one that died was the boy, but I actually had to sign a paper that took his life. So I've actually taken a life, a human life, I have. So this gets into the politics thing. Well, if I didn't have that choice, that's a choice word there. If I didn't have that choice, what would I have done? Because the doctor, the specialist said there's one person in New York and there's one person in LA, two doctors that can do this to where they stop the heartbeat of the baby. Because if you let, because usually the heartbeat stops by itself because this cystic hygroma is so bad. If you deliver this baby, the most it lives is 45 minutes tops. And it's completely, it doesn't smell, even look like a baby. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry to get graphic here, but he was trying to actually show me pictures and trying to, you know, convince me to take away this pregnancy. And I said, you don't have to convince me. If you say that that cystic hygroma in 2 weeks could explode and pop and then kill the healthy baby and also get into my heart and maybe kill me, you don't have to show me pictures. Let me sign. If that cystic hygroma baby is going to live 45 minutes and not even be a baby, why should I let that, now that we have science that has helped us to determine what's going on, why should I let that ruin my other pregnant, my other healthy fetus? By the way, I was 37 years old, and I was going to be delivering at 38. I didn't have a lot more time to have a baby, okay?
Mm.
Well, okay, so what if I just said, oh, let God take care of everything. I'm not going to use my mind that God gave me to actually find these scientific facts out and then determine, you know, what to do. Oh, throw that all out the window. Just let whatever is going to happen, happen. I may not even have a child right now. And she's 13. And she weighed three. My daughter, she was 7 weeks to the day early. And my doctor, that 28 years doctor that I had in Beverly Hills for all those years I lived in LA, he couldn't believe I was the one who was going into labor. And they called him, and he was in Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt University, watching his daughter graduate from college. He couldn't be there for me. Okay, Johnny, I was emergency. I called the doctor. No. Do you really want to know the truth? This is actually a pretty interesting story of exactly what happened.
Sure.
Okay, I went to the place. I brought Elkie. you know, we all know Elsie. She's my best friend. She is the German Playboy Playmate and model best friend of mine since years, for years. She's like, I want to drive there with you to have the procedure where they stick the needle down and then they put chlorohydrate into the heart and stop the baby's heartbeat. So then you won't have fear that the cystic hygroma bubble of water around the head, that's where you saw the halo. In the beginning ultrasound, you see the halo with the that kind of thing. And it's this big bubble, and if it bursts, we could all be goners, okay? So we had to go take care of that, all right? I went to the one lady in L.A. She stuck the needle all the way down my stomach again. And we were watching it on a monitor. And when that needle went into my stomach, Elsie's hand, she started grabbing my hand so, squeezing my hand so tightly, and she ended up underneath my hospital bed because she couldn't handle it. I mean, it was bad. I mean, to watch those needles go down, and I already had done that twice. Now I was doing it again. And she couldn't. She's like, how can you handle this? She was underneath my hospital bed. She couldn't look. And so then the doctor, just the three of us in there, and the two babies. And these are human. This is life, okay? When does life start? I think it starts when there's a fetus with the soul. I don't say that life starts even with a heartbeat. I say life starts, the sperm connecting with the egg. That's when I think life starts. And so, believe me, I mean, I'm not feeling good about it, but I'm also feeling like I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice in the matter of, I have to save my child. I have to save the healthy child in there. Yeah. Okay, that's what I was doing. Okay, so then I go to, back up 1 second. What about the other one? But what's the sex? Like, I wanted to know the sex of my child, the one that is through, because I hadn't even found out the sex of my twins yet. So I'm finding out that one is not going to probably survive, and I have a big decision to make. And then I have one, another one that's healthy. And they hadn't even told me the sex of each one. For some reason, this was a big deal to me. And I'm sure other parents out there, it is. And you're wondering, am I going to have a girl or am I going to have a boy? Are these going to be unidentical, but boy and boy or girl and girl? I mean, you, all these things are going through your mind because you know you're pregnant with twins for a few months, you know? They see two little back there. I knew that from the beginning. Okay, I'm feeling special. I'm excited. Okay, now I'm not going to have twins. I'm going to have one. I'd like to know, is it a girl or a boy? I mean, they're like, what? I'm like, please, before you hang up, could you just tell me that? Went through all of this, and I would like to know, am I having a girl or a boy? And they finally said, you're going to have a girl. Okay. So, I mean, that was just important to me. So I remember that very well. Then I went, and I was going through sadness because I'm thinking, okay, I always wanted to have a boy. I always wanted to have a girl too, but I really wanted to have a boy because I'm so athletic. I'm so into sports, baseball, football. I know how to play it. I know all the rules. I was just going to be right there at his games. And why can't I be the same for her? I would have been. But she, for some reason, she's just not into it like I was. So all that's going through your mind of, okay, you're actually losing a child. You're going through that. You have to be pretty strong, I think. Anyway, I went through that. And you go home and you think for 24 hours you might lose the whole pregnancy because that's the risk. I mean, everything's like been poked. The water's swishing around. Things are happening inside you. You go home and I was completely alone. I had broken up with Lorenzo Lamas, I was engaged to. I had moved to Las Vegas for my own show, Headlights and Tailpipes, which I did do. I met my green man, Mark Blackman. He was the father, okay? But he was still in Las Vegas, and I was kind of on the outs with him, and so he didn't quite know everything that was going on, okay? So I was alone. I was a lone, single person going through this. But when I broke up, I had gone in Lorenzo, an apartment where I used to live for 9 years. I just was nice, you know, and so he was living there. when I came back to LA and I wanted, like, I'm like, I'm not going to be where it gets hot and I have no friends. My show's over. I mean, I have really nothing. I'm on the outs with the daddy, the baby daddy. And you know what? I'm moving back to my home, which is California. So I did. In the first place I could get a place was my wonderful place in Beverly Hills where I lived before for years, which was the same complex as Lorenzo. But we were friends, okay? So when, okay, I was 7 months pregnant and I went through all of that and I came home. It went smoothly. I didn't lose the other child. I had still my pregnancy. It should have gone fine for 9 months. I was gaining a tremendous amount of weight because of your body's like, you have twins and you just are double hungry. You're double everything. We've been over that with one of our Playmate guests. We just had twins. Okay. Anyway, so long story short, Lorenzo lived in the same complex. So when I was seven, I wasn't feeling well one night. We were still friends. I wasn't feeling well one night. And then all night long, I was having these contractions. And I thought it was called Braxton Hicks. Now I'm finding out there's no such thing as Braxton Hicks. Those are not fake contractions. Contractions are contractions. They're real. I mean, they're happening, aren't they? I was sitting here alone in labor for 8 hours all night long, writing down the time on a notepad. And the writing was going down and down and down like crazy. Like, oh, wow. Before, this brings me back to exactly what your topic of today is. We feel like we're burdening people. I was laying there for 8 hours in labor and didn't want to actually go cry for help because I didn't want to burden somebody. I finally picked myself up at around 5 a.m. and took the elevator down to the first floor and knocked on Lorenzo's door. Answered. And he was like already. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like 5 a.m. You're ready to go. I have an emergency. He's like, what's going on? I go, I have an emergency. And I've been having contractions all night long. I don't know. He's like, let's call your doctor immediately. I sat there on his bed and all of a sudden, swoosh, my water broke. It was an emergency. I was only 7 months pregnant. Do you know how your body, your baby is not ready to come out? It's not fully developed inside of your body. It's like, it could die. That's premature. That's majorly premature. You know, 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Premature. Okay. So then
yes.
He called the doctor and the doctor was like, are you kidding me? You went through this whole all night long. Get yourself to the hospital. We'll be waiting for you now. Oh my gosh. He got me. And he goes, oh, I'm up and ready to go and dressed because I have a flight to Las Vegas. I'm doing a job. I have a flight in a couple hours. Okay, who really loved me as a person, who cared, like was there for me, rushed me to the hospital. I mean, he had already had six kids of his own. I was like, he was the person that should have been there that time for me to help me. I could have laid there for hours if I didn't think Lorenzo lived on the first floor and I could go down and knock on his door. I wasn't calling anybody. I don't even think I was in the right mind to call somebody. I was like, I mean, you feel like you're in another world. You're going through that kind of, you're going to have a baby. You're in another world. I'm telling you, Johnny, it's different. And you're not on drugs, but you feel kind of like you are. It's really weird the way the body goes into this kind of action. And he took me there. And then on the way there, I called my dad. He lived in California close by. So then Lorenzo goes, okay. He put a towel between me. I mean, it was gushing out like water everywhere, like, and I wasn't embarrassed around him because A, he was my fiance, plus B, he had been through six pregnancies with women before, and six kids. Then, and they helped me, and he dropped me off at the hospital. I remember being there, and of course, in the morning, you're hungry and you're thirsty, and you hadn't eaten because it was like, you know, early morning. Oh my gosh, Johnny, it's 8 hours, and my dad got there, and he let Lorenzo's like, okay, your dad's here. I'm going to go catch my plane. I'm like, thank you. Dad was there by my side. My mom flew in. Oh, my gosh, Johnny. They wouldn't let me eat or drink, not even a sip, not even a lick of an ice cube for 8 more hours of hell. because they're worried you're going to throw up and like cause problems. They had me down. I was strapped down. It was an emergency. They had a wheelchair waiting. I mean, I was strapped down. They had monitors on the baby. They had monitors on me. It was Cedars-Sinai. Priscilla, long story short, talked about a burden, which she was not. I had great health insurance. $250,000. $250,000 to have that baby. 7 weeks in ICU. Every day I went there twice a day to do the breastfeeding because it's very important to from the breast milk that they've never been able to scientifically copy ever. It's just something that the mothers make that is extremely very important for the newborn baby. Very important. Very important, especially for the ones that are fighting for their lives. She was 3 pounds. 3 pounds. She looked like a little, tiny little, I mean, little rat, but she still had like peach fuzz hair. And oh my gosh, she was so sweet to me. She was the most beautiful thing in the world to me. Like my dad's thumb was bigger than like, I think her head. I mean, it was tiny. And then she even lost weight down to under 3 pounds, which was normal. And then they had to put bilirubin lights on her, the jaundice. They almost thought they were going to have to do open heart surgery on her at like, she was only in there a few days because the heart valve that early doesn't shut. Sometimes it does by itself. And thank God the next day the heart valve shut on its own.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to have open heart surgery as a complete infant. And you know what? When she's bouncing around and she's like bigger for her size and like bigger for her age and she's healthy with those fat cheeks, I could not smile more because nobody has ever heard me speak publicly about this story in my entire life. They think that everything just happened so easily for Barbara Moore, and that's what they always think. You know what? That was very hard to go through. It was a lot. And plus, right after that, she was a year and a half old, and her daddy, which we made amends, we were trying to get back together to get married and all that, 13 years, I don't want pity. I can handle it. I'm doing it. Sometimes it's better. Believe me, sometimes it can be a lot better than having an ex in your life. And sometimes I often think, wow, what would it be like if he was alive? I mean, I wouldn't be getting my payments on time probably, and I probably would be having arguments, and I'd probably be worried about my little toddler going over there on the weekends around the swimming pool. I mean, these are things. And right now, when people have to give their kids to the ex for the other weekend, Corona.
You know? Yeah. Would he be supportive
sure he
about
the show?
I'm sure
he would think the show is just fine. Yes, he would be fine mm-hmm. with the show. I'm sure he would be fine with the show. Fine with my career. That wasn't the problem. He was just, why? Because of what I've said before about the problem?
No. Just curious. That's all.
Oh, the show he was fine about. He did have a jealousy problem. I mean, we'd be at the gym and I'd be working out and some guy said hi to me and I said hi back. So what am I supposed to do? Be rude and just ignore people? If they say hi, I'm going to say hi. I mean, we're working out. You know, we're people. We're human beings. Oh, I get home and you say, well, you want that guy. I'm not going to say the word you said, but, you know, I can't deal with that. I'm a model, okay? I'm known. I'm going to get some attention out there in public. And if somebody is with me and can't handle that and is threatened by that, that's when it's not going to work. And that's when it bummed me out to find out that was the case with us because everything else was just amazing. Everything else was just great. And the jealousy is what ruined everything. Anyway,
wow.
I had to make a decision. Here's the thing. If you weren't able to make a decision and you had to go to another country to do so, what if you didn't have the means to get there? What if you had only your family to help you and they believed in, you know, it wasn't an abortion. It was, I had the choice to actually end a life okay? A life, a heart beating. So that's why I love the show so much, because I never felt guilty about that decision. I felt good about my decision, but I often wonder about my decision, like, where is he? And so the show, Life, Laughter, Happiness, coming aboard the show, it was so spiritually based a couple times a week that I was able to get a lot from that, to be able to talk to him. And like, I'll see him again. And I named him. I named him that day. Do you want another name?
What?
Gabriel.
Oh, that's what you told me.
Yes, because it's the name of
the
angel.
Came in, I think it was about the pillows. Remember that? Gabriel,
yeah,
talks
I have
to
talked
you.
About it briefly. I've talked about it briefly, but not this whole thing. But yes, so good memory. And I named him Gabriel, but I also, after that, I did get married for a couple of years. And I then had two more miscarriages. And that's when so I only have one baby, and I always wanted to have two or three. You know, I wanted to have more. I wanted my child to have a sibling. I had one. It was great. I think it just adds a lot to life to have a sibling. And I wasn't able to give that to her, but I did try. So there's three that are, I say, in heaven. And there's one I've named, and then I'm thinking, oh, well, those other two didn't count. Well, why don't they? Well, they never got the heartbeat. When are we as human beings here on this planet, who are we to say this is when life begins? Doesn't life begin when the life begins and it's growing in you and it's a fetus? That's before the heartbeat. That comes before the heartbeat. Is that the soul? So I'm going to say yes. That's when life starts. So I have two more that I have not named. Those two never did get the heartbeat. I'm thinking because I was 40 at the time when I was trying to get pregnant and have children with my husband. And then maybe my eggs were old or something. I mean, it sounds weird, but it does happen. And that's when people freeze their eggs. Like, it's not my fault. Hey, Father Time. You know, that's how it is. That's how biologically it works. And it was okay. Okay, I'm happy with my one child, but I want to name those other two. And they have to be names that could go boy, girl, because I don't know if they're a boy or a girl. So I have to do kind of names like that. And there's so many names I like. Johnny, if you had a baby, what would you name your baby if it was a boy?
Well, if it was a boy, I might name it after my father, maybe Ralph, but I would have to talk to my wife about it. If it was a girl, I would name Layla, because there is this girl that I knew that was across the street from where we were and living, and it was the first time. See, what had happened was, up until then, nobody, when it came time to babysit, I had three sisters. When it came time to babysit, nobody asked me. They asked my sisters, you know?
Right.
And I thought that was wrong. I mean, I thought, you know, I should be able to handle, you know, a kid. It's true I can't drive, but my sisters can, but I should. But that doesn't mean I can't handle a kid.
That's
and
so sweet. You wanted to do that.
So they had me, this friend of mine, she was a dancer. She had me, you know, she had me babysit her kids with Layla and Jasmine. And the thing about Layla was, Layla had, whenever Layla would talk about me, she would never talk about me like I was an adult. She talked about me like I was nine. Like, they actually came, I'm not kidding, they came over to the house, they rang the doorbell, my mom answered the doorbell, and they said to my mom, can Johnny come out and play?
That's so sweet. How old were you?
And I was
How old are you?
I was about 30.
Oh, they identify
and
they can relate to you.
And well, but see, the thing about Layla was that Jasmine, what Layla would do is Layla was passively aggressive when it came to getting things that she wanted. Like, for example, I was a member of a country club, okay? And mm-hmm. at the country club, we had swimming pools, you know? And you could eat at the swimming pool. They had, like, milkshakes, Coke, orange juice, hamburgers. You could sit, you know, and get a tan.
I love country clubs. I got it. Okay, good job on your parents' part being members of a country club. That's
no,
cool.
No. This wasn't my parents. This was me. I paid for it.
Oh.
They were.
You were a member?
So it happened, yes.
You were a member?
So, yeah.
Wow,
at this
smart,
particular time when
smart
I was,
cookie, Johnny. Get
so,
a lot of,
so what happened,
you know, high-end women like that. Just kidding.
So what happened was that okay. I was a member of a country club. This was when I had a little more money. And then what happened was that, but I could bring guests to the swimming pool with me. So what happened was that I told Layla, I told the mom first, but I told Layla, I said, Layla, you know, I have, I'm a member of a country club, and at the country club, we have a swimming pool, and you can do it, you know, you have milkshakes, food, you know, and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, would you like it if you could, if you and your brother, Charlie, and your sister, Jasmine, and maybe your parents can come with me to the country club and swim, you know,
mm-hmm.
someday, sometime. I said sometime. Now, notice I said the word sometime. Well, without batting an eye, this little cute little girl looks up to me, and she goes, you mean like Thursday?
Oh, how cute.
She immediately picked out a day. So I'm
how
like,
smart.
Well, if that's the Thursday is the day that you want to do it, I guess we can do it. Let's go see if, you know. So we went there. And it was just hysterical. I mean, it was, I mean, that girl was just so, I mean, just the way, just, I love the way that I was a little girl. I mean, it was just so hysterical. It just, and then, like, we would go to the movies together. And I would get
were
some popcorn.
Were you the favorite? Wait, were you the favorite?
What do you mean?
Did you become the favorite babysitter?
Yeah, well, as far as babysitting, I was. But, I mean, it was just, I'm not the only adult who did things with them, but I was the babysitter. And then what happened was that we went to the movies, and I got some popcorn. And Layla was like, maybe I should keep the popcorn in my lap so I can eat it. I mean, you know, she was clever. She was obviously what she's doing, but she was getting away with it. And, Layla, you know, I think it was what happened was that there was, they would actually come and look for me, you know, they would actually come and look for me, like, they would get a knock on the door, and then my mom would say, hey, Johnny, you have some guests? Layla, the answer to your, oh, hi, you know? And, I mean,
did you make money?
It's like they talk.
Did you make money?
What? Well,
did
yeah.
you make money when you were? Oh, good. Well,
oh yeah,
Johnny,
yeah. They paid me to babysit.
You should get paid
it
for it. I mean, that's a job. Even though you enjoyed the
no,
job.
No, I mean, I don't. I mean, I didn't care. I didn't care, but I got paid for it. And it was like, you know, what I loved about those two was that they, you know, they. I mean, everybody says they talk about you like you're nine. You know? I mean, seriously, like, they would say things like, you know, it's too bad you're leaving so that you can spend the night.
Well, that's sweet. But, Johnny, that's because, it's not because you were acting like you were nine, and I know you didn't say that, but it was because you could relate to kids. And I've always told you, you're amazing with kids. The kids, little kids, medium, tweens, teens, my daughter is a perfect testament to that, that you're good with. Never answers the phone to my, you know, my friends don't just call her up to chat, and you do. And she likes it. I mean, that's your thing.
Yeah.
You guys have like this running, you know, dialogue, and that's cool. So good. Good job, Johnny,
well,
relating. You're good with children.
Thank you. Well, you know, we've been doing this for an hour. Do you want to go ahead and
Let's
do the shout out?
Sure. Okay. Well, just to wrap up things, Johnny and I decided it was a great idea of his to have the topic today about health. Well, that might seem like a broad topic, but I think we narrowed it down really well by, you know, talking about Johnny's recent health problem with his tooth and, you know, not wanting to burden people. And then my whole thing, which was one of the biggest, I'd say the biggest health scare. And here I say, oh, no, I haven't had health scares. Well, yeah, I guess when I think about it, I have. And mine, and how I laid there for hours not wanting to burden anybody either with my health, which could have been a big catastrophe if I went to, quote-unquote, bother to burden people. So what's the moral of the story, Johnny?
I mean, is that I guess you have to learn to be able to speak up, you know.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to speak up. It could be the matter of life or death. So thank you for listening, everybody. And this show will soon be up on our YouTube channel, Life Factor Happiness YouTube. So go there, collect it, save it, follow, and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're there. Enjoy it, and we thank you for listening and look forward to seeing you next time. But until then, go to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I just posted a couple things last night on, I think it was Facebook and Instagram. It kind of goes hand in hand, so I do both with Life, Laughter, Happiness, some favorite music, if you'd like to go check it out, everybody. Just trying to share. And I'd like to hear, you know, your thoughts on the show, too. So we look forward to hearing from you. And I think that's it. You have anything else, Johnny?
Nothing else. Good night, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Barbara.
Have a great night. Good night, Johnny.